In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Isaac and Sue.
They set up the screen to Tez Johnson. Blockers in front.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week on primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
A freeway to the end zone for a touchdown.
The Fan.
I mean, that's a little misleading. We're not really covering the Big Ten Media Week. I mean, we are. We're talking about Big Ten football.
But... we talked to Sean Foster at length.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. The other shows are doing that. We're not doing that. We don't have any interviews on this. I mean, and thank God for that. I mean, I don't want to interview Miller Moss. So, Dirt and Sprague did this morning. We had Matt Rule on with Danny and Dusty today. So, they're covering the crap out of it, but...
Yes, sir.
It's over by the time we're on the air.
It's over!
Which is great.
We think! Hold on, everybody.
So it is. I mean, it's Big Ten Media Week, but I mean,
yeah. Hey, tomorrow you get the Duckies.
You know, yeah, you'll probably hear Dan Lanning on one of the shows.
Yes,
he'll be talking.
I would assume.
It's over your helmet.
Maybe he'll.
I think Dylan Gabriel's there. I think Tez Johnson. I think are the two players.
No, Tez isn't there. It's
Tez isn't there.
No, Dylan Gabriel, Jeffrey Bossa, and Terrence Ferguson.
The Ferg. Ooh, by the way, I have Diamador Lenore news.
Yeah.
Have you seen what's going on with him?
No, I can't say that I have.
Former Duck. Now with the Niners. We'll have to get to that coming up.
But okay.
It's complete with audio.
Yeah.
And that audio is ready whenever you want it.
Yeah, very, very puzzling. What are the most off-putting things athletes do? I thought of this because I was watching tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And
tennis is going on right now.
Well, it was Wimbledon.
Oh, right.
Or not Wimbledon.
Wimbledon just finished.
Was it Wimbledon?
Yes.
Wimbledon just finished.
Yeah.
Wimbledon.
I was watching Wimbledon. Remember I had COVID?
Yes.
And I was sick.
Our favorite new athlete, Carlos Alvarez.
Yeah, Carlos Alvarez.
That's right. He's so good.
And
so,
yes, we know his name is Alcaraz.
He's so talented.
I was watching it and I got... It's just an eye roll when pro-level tennis players throw little baby tantrums.
Tennis players do like to throw the
tantrums.
Oh,
my God. They're such little babies.
Yeah.
And so I was watching some of these players melt down. Literally just melt down. Like, there was one of them. I don't remember if it was a male or female player who literally just turned to his box and just threw his arms up. Like, what? You're not helping me. Yeah. I think it was Coco Gauff, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And so I hate that. It pisses me off. But I would like a power ranking of most off-putting things athletes do, please.
On the field or
anywhere.
Pitch or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, any of
one, the number one thing for me, and it's not even close, is soccer. The
whole sport is off-putting.
The entire sport. Wow. Everything about it. No,
The flopping?
The flopping in soccer is, it's just, there's nothing like it. Because people flop in the NBA. Like, Nurkic goes down, like, 9 times a game. And LeBron certainly does the roll around, but no one, and I mean no one, does it like soccer players. Like, they go down, and they will lay on the ground for, like, a minute and a half.
And they're really poor theatrics. They're not, yes. they're not convincing, they're not no. believable, and, like, somehow it's accepted as some form of gamesmanship, yeah. even though it's just
you
stupid.
You look like a bunch of little bitches. And then they come out, and, like, they do the freeze spray on them, and then they get up, and I just, that is...
What is that, by the way? Is that, like, a lidocaine spray?
I don't
what is
know.
That?
What's going on there?
It's some sort of, like, they spray, like, Icy Hot on there. I don't know. It's like Mr. Miyagi in a can. And then they're like magically better. That is hands down the most off-putting thing in any
sport. Has anybody ever talked about why they do? I mean, I get the idea of it.
Gamesmanship.
But literally, every single player does it.
Yes.
Are there players that don't do that?
I don't think so. It's widely accepted in the sport that is just what
happens.
And
if you don't do it, are you then chastised by your teammates?
I guess. I'm assuming that, like, you're trying to draw a penalty. You're trying to draw a card. You're trying to draw some time where everyone catches their breath. But it's just...
My understanding is there are nations who are notorious for doing it more and worse than others. A lot of them are the South American nations. Like, we saw in the Copa final, Argentina and Colombia are both teams like that. It was a complete circus. It doesn't mean that everyone doesn't do it to some degree. They do, but some more than others, certainly.
That is hands down the most off-putting thing. The other one for me is when Deion Sanders or anyone else, they do the, if you don't kiss someone's ass, then you are a hater. You didn't believe in me thing.
Oh no! I ran through that bull jump.
Yeah, like you're either with us or against us.
Yes, like
you cannot be critical. The second you're critical,
you're a hater.
You're against us.
And if you don't love us, you must hate us.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like the Danny Green podcast thing. You either love me or hate me.
Yeah. No. We didn't.
We
no one cared about you.
About you, Danny.
I don't think about you at all. That is seriously off-putting to me and such a giant eye roll.
Glory to God stuff?
Yeah, that one I struggle with.
Everyone?
Well, I've always said that I desperately want someone to blame Jesus for fumbling because that, you know.
Like, Stevie Johnson one time, he blamed God for dropping passes in a Bills game.
Yes, like that's the best because no matter what happens, especially, no offense, but when it's like a horrible human being, like Tyreek Hill, it's like, you know what? Glory to God. I'm not certain that God has anything to do with you, Tyreek. I'm just saying. I don't necessarily think that you're the most godly man. Speaking of the godly thing, not only does it drive me crazy when we do the God thing, I also can't stand when you F up beyond belief and you use the God as an excuse. That's the old Thom Brenneman thing of, yeah, I just got caught on a hot mic being just beyond bigoted and throwing out homophobic slurs to an entire community, but...
Always been a man of faith.
Always been a man of faith, and it's not who I am, and I love God.
I don't know
God.
If I'd be putting on this headset again.
I hate the gays, clearly, but I love God. Because my God apparently hates the gays as well, so that means it's okay. Like, that stuff just bananas. Yeah. Absolutely drives me crazy and is so off-putting when you do the man of God.
Aren't they just pandering to other God people?
I would assume so. You know, Dabo does that a lot. And at least with Dabo, and it does drive me crazy that he does it, when he's like, NIL, name, image, and likeness. He's like, yeah, my program's built on NIL, the image of God. I'm like, oh, cram it. Just... really tight and cram it. But at least he does appear to be a super...
through it. And I honestly, I mean, for me, we built this program on NIL.
Program.
We really did. And I, it's probably different than what you're thinking, though. We built this program in God's name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at it.
How does Deshaun Watson fit into that, by the way? Is Deshaun Watson a big man of God? Because I think you built the program on his back, and he was really good. Because so many elite football players, just it's all about God. But at least with Dabo, as much of a douche, that is who he is. Like, I said that about Tebow. The Tebow stuff was always a lot for me, but I think he was the genuine article. I think he really believed that. So while it is much, at least it's not, like, hypocritical. that in hypocrisy, and that's another one that just, you know, where you take the Bobby Knight thing. Bobby Knight demanded accountability and respect from everyone, but offered none of it for himself. None whatsoever.
You know what? Another one. So the tennis tantrums really bother me because it's just like,
what exactly, like, is that, yeah, meant to accomplish?
Exactly. It's like, what do you, dude, you're the only one, you're the one playing.
That's it.
Fix it.
Yeah.
Why are you looking? Oh, do you, I mean, like golfers go through, I mean, like golfers,
oh, I'm hurt.
Golfers and tennis players, because they're individual sports and, like, you know, you're kind of out there on an island on your own.
Yeah.
They have a tendency to be the biggest head cases, and I totally understand that. But I just think golfers present themselves so much tougher than, and that's not a high bar,
no,
but so much tougher than tennis players, because while you do have some tantrums out there, like guys throwing clubs or getting pissed off, most of the time those guys just, they just, yeah. I mean, golf is really hard, mm-hmm, and they just kind of suck it up, and you can't tell if they're playing good or playing bad. But tennis players, it seems like all of them,
yeah,
when they're playing bad,
they just lose it.
They lose it, yeah, and they lose it on their box and their coach, and they're throwing rackets and breaking crap.
Well, McEnroe made a career out of it. I don't.
And maybe it's guys like that enable that type of behavior, but that one's really bad for me. It drives me crazy. The other one is, this really bothers me when DBs especially celebrate. They'll do a pass breakup or something right after getting torched for three touchdowns, and like they're down 27 points, and they'll break up a pass, and they'll get up and do their little stupid shtick. Like, dude,
yeah,
shut up.
And my new version of that, which I feel like, I call it the Freddie Mitchell because it was big when he was with the Eagles, is celebrating and pointing and running 10 yards downfield and signaling every first down, even if you're down by 21 points. Wow, you did your job. You gained 10 yards. Like, it wasn't a diving catch. Just, it wasn't a 50-yard bomb. It wasn't a touchdown. You caught a 4-yard out that just got past the sticks.
Awareness.
Like, yeah!
Cam Newton got dragged for that. They'd be down by like three touchdowns, yes, and he would run one in and then do the
super. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're Superman. You wouldn't be losing, dummy.
Cam, you're down by 14 with like 4 minutes left.
That one really bothers me.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, the coaches in general, can you say what's the most off-putting? Can I just say coaches in general? Like 90% of coaches I find to be just off-putting. And it's rare when you get a good one that you like. Like, I really appreciate it. And we've been pretty lucky with people we covered. Like, I thought Mike Riley was delightful. I thought Mike Bellotti was pretty solid. I think Dan Lanning's a pretty good guy. You know, like David Shaw, I thought was a really class act at Stanford, and Chris Peterson. And then it makes you appreciate when you see the good ones, because there's just so many hypocritical, self-serving, red ass douches in the coaching world.
Yeah. Another one with DBs is, The couple people brought this up on the Vancouver Four text line. It's when the quarterback throws a terrible
pass. Yeah, he had nothing to do with.
So that's why the pass, I mean, wasn't completed. Yeah. And then the DB celebrating like he broke it up.
It's like, well, you're just jumping around because the other player's terrible, man.
DBs and receivers do live in their own little world. And maybe that's the tennis thing, is it really is a game amongst itself. You're just out there on a little island, and yeah, it's like these little individual wars, and they sure do like to celebrate.
Babies.
Well, and some of it too now is that DBs and receivers have realized that there's a lot of money to be made if you get a name for yourself. So, you know, look at like Odell Beckham. Can we play the fun game? When's the last time Odell Beckham was good?
The Super Bowl where he tore his ACL, probably.
I mean, he just...
Wasn't he the one that had that big outstretched catch?
Yeah, when he was with the Giants against the Cowboys.
Back then, he was good.
But Odell Beckham made a name for himself because he made a name for himself. He was a solid receiver, but he was never the best receiver in the league. But he became a big deal. And there's a lot of guys that are like that now that realize that building a brand is... I don't know. It's as important to them as actually being successful on the field. And I think that's why a lot of the DBs and receivers, because it is a very much a point at me, point at me, point at me.
I've been watching that receiver show on Netflix, and boy, they are all...
They're a lot to take.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Even Davante Adams, who's like the seasoned vet, he is all about Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
These guys.
It's a unique position in the game of football.
He said, you know, I don't even judge anything by, it's not about wins and losses for me. It's about my legacy or something, something like that.
The old legacy.
And he comes across as like a pretty bright guy and got his stuff together, good family man. But man, when he talks, it's like, dude, you are so full of yourself. I mean, Jordan Jefferson kind of comes across that way.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams doesn't.
Yeah.
But when you hear him talk, they're the same.
Sure. I don't know. And maybe it's just, like I said, the position lends itself to that. It's the AAU 7-on-7 type of culture. I don't know what exactly about it is the reason behind it. I think there's a lot of things, but yes, I just think receivers and DBs live in their own world. And anyone that's played the game will tell you that that is, it's by far the easiest possession or positions to peg what sort of personality is going to be the standout one. Just is.
All right. We've got little Diamador Lenore audio.
Speaking of DBs.
This is audio you didn't know you needed.
But now I do.
You didn't know that, though.
But I do now.
Yeah, I think it's quality.
And I haven't heard it, so I'm excited.
And it's really what's going on in this audio.
It's diabolical.
Yeah, it's really something that no one else ever in the history of Earth has thought.
It's stunning.
I am excited now. You have.
Let's put it this way. He likes something. Mm-hmm. That is
drives the rest of us insane.
Yes, it drives us all crazy. Huh. He loves it.
Is it black licorice?
Black licorice.
That sucks.
No, people, I didn't even.
I also hate black
people
licorice.
People that like black licorice, I don't trust. It's instantly.
But is black licorice? I mean, I haven't seen black licorice for years.
Exactly.
Is that even out there?
I think it still exists. I'm just saying, if we sit down and I meet you and you're like, hey, would you like some licorice? And I'm like, yes, I would like a delicious red vine. And you're like, yeah, it's black licorice. You can go to hell. We're done hanging out. That's a deal breaker for me. I don't trust you.
All right, we'll be right back. It is 420 on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, coming up next, Your noted newsman returns within the news. I don't know what's up with this, but packs of dogs are biting people's limbs off.
What?
And it's not okay.
Well, sharks are doing that too.
Why are you laughing? Sharks have always done that. Well, I guess dogs have too.
Yeah.
But here locally, we've got packs of rabid dogs.
Did you hear Danny and Dusty talking about cocaine sharks today?
Yeah, we got cocaine sharks, and then Australian surfer got his leg bit off, and then it washed ashore.
Oh.
Yeah, what a great... I heard Danny and Dusty talking about that. Yeah. What a stroke of luck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to reattach it, but, you know, it's someone was just on the beach, and they're like, hey, there's a leg, and someone's like, I think I know who that belongs to.
But, like, if you're... Let's say you get your... and, by the way, we're going to be talking about cocaine sharks later in the program.
Absolutely. like, we're not going to talk about cocaine sharks? Hello?
It is a headline today. But imagine you get your leg bitten off by a shark, okay? And then you have to surf in one-legged or paddle in. Mm-hmm. But it would be a lot cooler if he surfed in one-legged.
That would. Pretty badass, though, that he still had the wherewithal to get back on the board. And then
he
caught a wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like nothing that can be good in that moment, right?
No.
The only thing that can give you hope or make you feel better is that, oh, hey, there's my leg.
Look at that.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you just throw it in the back of, you throw it in the trunk.
Yeah.
And maybe they can throw it back on there.
It's like someone starts saying, always look on the broad side of life. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm guessing shock in that moment, but, you know, my leg.
I just think that'd be cool. Like, there's my leg.
Yeah, kind of nice to the shark to not, like, to spit it back out. You know, the shark comes in, it's like, ha, takes the leg and then realizes, you know, I don't want this. And, you know, hey, maybe the shark is the one that felt bad, thought it was a seal. Turns out it's not a seal. Maybe the shark, you know, kind of.
Well, that's usually why
he hawk-toed the leg back onto the shore.
Hawk-toed. Yeah. That's usually why they attack, right?
Yeah,
sharks
don't necessarily want to eat us. They just think you're a seal, and so they do a little exploratory, hey, what's this? And then once they find out that you're like gross human, then they just, you know, they spit you out. Unfortunately, that whole bleed to death thing is...
But that guy lived, right?
Yeah, he lived.
He did?
Yeah.
Because if your leg's completely bitten off...
It had to be pretty low. Because if it gets up high, then you get the femoral artery, and then you're...
You're bleeding. You're done.
You're done.
Like, you can't...
And I guess someone was on the beach, like a cop, and they got a tourniquet on it, like, ASAP. So, but you can bleed out pretty fast. Like, the whole leg thing, everyone's like, oh, like, I got shot in the leg. No, you hit that artery, and it's your ass, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, it comes flooding out of there.
Yeah, so you gotta make sure that everything's on the up and up. Get that tourniquet on there, but, you know...
So a little bit of audio here. This comes to us from Diamador Lenore, a former Oregon Duck who is now with the San Francisco 49ers. He was doing a podcast. Who is this gal on this?
It's Kay Adams. She hosts Good Morning Football on the NFL Network, and then she also has this show, Up and Adams, on FanDuel TV.
Okay, so she's interviewing Diamador Lenore, and this is on video. And,
by the way.
Yeah. Kay Adams can get it.
She can get it. Says Buck.
Wait, Buck, you big jerk. Why'd you gotta go there? I was merely talking about what a talented sports broadcaster.
She's incredibly talented.
And now
you watch
Buck's
her host a show?
Over here trying to sexualize her.
I've watched her host hundreds of shows.
What's her name?
Kay Adams. She was rumored to have a thing with Shams.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at that power couple. I'm just saying, you know.
Is Shams married?
I don't think so.
But I'll tell you what, check out what this little thing.
Well,
right there.
I have Google.
Told you, she can get it.
I'm uncomfortable with that, Buck.
Why?
You're making me uncomfortable.
Okay, so anyway.
You're making me uncomfortable.
What were we talking about?
we're talking about Kay.
Kay Adams is interviewing Diamador Lenore, and you can hear his smoke alarm or smoke detector beeping in the background.
Okay.
I want to know, whose job was it to change the batteries in the smoke detector?
Man, that was not nobody's job. My smoke detector still go off right now.
I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
Is that your smoke detector?
Yes. I didn't switch the batteries. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
Diamador, were you sleeping with this going like? Well, I don't understand.
I didn't hit swift so hard as I don't even hear it.
You're telling me you slept an entire night with that noise in the background? How many nights?
This has been going on since last season. It's been good luck, so I just let it go. Like, I've been playing good so far the whole season. I just, you know, I'm kind of superstitious. Like,
are you joking?
No, I'm serious.
Where are you right now? Like, where?
Santa Clara.
You're in Santa Clara, and you're there often, and you're telling me that you haven't changed the battery in your smoke detector in over a year?
Yes.
And you don't even hear that?
Like, I don't even hear it no more.
And it's because you're superstitious.
Superstitious.
Diamador, this is the crazy. I've done a lot of crazy things. I've heard a lot. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I literally want to scratch my skin off because I keep hearing this noise, and you don't even hear it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
Dude, who likes that?
Or who can ignore it?
Who? Yes, that is the most annoying thing in the home.
Mm.
Can you find something more annoying than that in your home?
No, because when it goes off, I have had this happen where in the middle of the night, I will go hunting. This was a while back, but like I couldn't find where the noise was coming from.
Yeah.
And I could not ignore it. Like, it is impossible. It is a wormhole that will be bored through your eardrum. And yet he just is shrugging it off.
For a year.
Sleeping through it.
That's psychotic.
That is so weird.
Yes.
That is, as a matter of fact, I don't really know why they have, I get the whole idea of, fires and wanting to warn you of fires.
Sure.
But I don't really get why the technology has not come further that they can avoid the stupid intermittent beep. Even when you replace the battery.
Yeah.
Right? It'll beep.
Yeah.
And then you go replace the battery and then it still beeps.
And sometimes, like you said, you think it's one and it's not. It turns out to be the other one. And
it's
maddening.
I don't understand.
It's the most annoying thing in the world. There should be a switch that you just flip it off.
Correct.
Look, I'm not gonna lie, there may or may not be two smoke detectors right now in my house that are inoperable because of this.
Yeah. I have three.
Yeah, where I'm
and
just
they're
like, all,
they're in a drawer. My wife is like, I'm done. I'm taking
throw them outside when they start going off.
I'm taking these down.
And then one of these days, the fire is going to happen, and you'll be like, "Man, if only we had
a smoke alarm."
Well, does he ever have guests? Does he have company? Does it not bother them? Like if you were having people over, you'd still have that going on.
Yeah, you can't. You can't have that.
Very bizarre. I've never heard of anyone liking that.
And it's superstitious, so he just embraces it. That can't be. He's got to be doing bits. There's no way.
He's probably just not home.
A year of.
And it's not,
meep.
Yeah, it's loud too.
It is. It is a loud, but it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of hard to pinpoint. Like if you're in your bedroom and you hear that, you don't instantly know where that thing's coming from. And then you have to stand underneath one of the smoke alarms and wait for it. And I swear to God, it knows when you're under there and it won't go off until you go and lay back down and then it goes off again.
And then you punch it with a broom.
You just start beating it. There is one in our hallway that now, it was one of the ones without a battery. It plugged in. It was hardwired. It's just now laying on like the railing. And there's just a hole in the ceiling because I refused to.
We have three of those. We took them down.
Yeah, you're like, I'm out.
So if there's a fire, it's on us.
Pretty much at
but
this point.
I don't care.
Yeah. And then you're cooking some bacon or something and that thing goes off and that's over. You're like, that's
it's just bacon. You should know that. It's not a fire.
How are they not smarter by now? You should be able to know the difference between bacon and your house being on fire.
But what happens if you're on fire, though, and it smells like barbecue pork? And then, I guess if you're on fire, though, the smoke alarm would know. Maybe like one of those Simply Safe things, like one of those, like, are those any, like, better?
What's that?
Because I think, don't they have now, like, the home security things, like, that are also fire?
They also have, like, a carbon monoxide detector or something like that. So if there's
I have no alarms, no anything in my house. It's just ripe for the fire or the murders or whatever. But I think normal people have, like, alarm systems now that are all built into one where you got, like, police, fire, medical. It's like 911 all built into one thing.
Also, you need 9 volts for those dumb things.
Yeah, that's right.
And who has?
No one has.
No, what do no I have one an, uses 9 volts.
Do I have, like, an RC car somewhere? Like, no one has a 9 volt.
It's just... Come on, man.
Let's evolve. Let's move. You're right in that the fire safety needs. It's been the same since like 1972.
Yes,
we need to step up.
Those were my childhood home had those.
The best part is we a bunch of years ago we had to have our home. What do you call it? Like when you get it refinanced, the guy comes around. No, the guy comes around.
Appraised.
Yeah, you got to get a home appraisal, and we did have to get smoke alarms.
The appraisers, they'll.
Yeah, they make you. So I
that's
did,
an easy one for them.
Yeah, I did go out and you, that was like the only time you ever deal with a smoke alarm is like when you're selling a house or like you're having it appraised or whatever.
Or it's malfunctioning.
Yeah, and then right after that, you don't care. It's that's in right. a drawer somewhere.
That's right. Even the people that are buying the house don't care.
No.
It's just the appraiser has to care for them.
Yes.
But the people are like, yeah, we'll take those down.
Don't worry. Those things will be
those
gone.
Those beeps are annoying.
2 weeks after we move in.
All right. In the news is next. What's up with packs of dogs killing people around here? We'll have an expose. Here is Buck with SportsCenter. Is that Maneater? Is that by accident or did you play that on purpose?
I did not play it. That was just a really nice coincidence for your next story.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to take credit for it, but I can't. I'm a man of integrity.
The universe just lines up.
Somebody on the Vancouver Fort text line before we get to in the news said, big smoke detector is in cahoots with big insurance.
100%.
So they make them infuriating, so you take them down, and when the house burns down, they can blame it on you taking down the detector, and they don't pay you out.
I think this is a really savvy take.
That's from Jordan. That is a savvy take.
Boy, is that a thing? Like, if my smoke detectors aren't properly installed, the insurance...
Oh, hell yeah!
The insurance company's like, so
you didn't do your part.
Yes. Like, that ain't our fault.
You know what? I'm not even going to lie. I'm kind of impressed with that. I hate insurance companies. That's a bold move, though. I respect it. You sons of bitches.
Yeah, I don't even think that's really conspiracy. That sounds like fact.
That does. I'm going to run with that. I don't know if there's any truth to that at all, but from now on, that's what I'm choosing to believe.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Thank you, Jordan.
Who needs facts anymore at this point? Just go with a narrative and believe in it with all your being.
July 24, 2024. Time now for In the News. I'm your Notre Newsman. Hello. Thank you. Please be seated. If you are already seated, please stand in my honor. And now you can be seated. It is National Tequila Day.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know my feelings on tequila. It's very mid.
We've talked about tequila. Well, some tequila is and some tequila isn't. Some tequila is really good. You know, mezcal is really...
It's my least favorite of the tequilas.
It's not. It's mezcal. It's
well,
different.
That's true.
But it's in the tequila.
It's
family.
In the tequila family, right?
Yeah, I like mezcal more than tequila.
Damn.
Smokier. Also, Jace, it is National Drive-Thru Day.
Oh, okay. Today. Making us fatter by the day. Nothing good comes from a drive-thru.
Now, who do we credit for the original drive-thru? Isn't it the In-N-Out guys?
In-N-Out?
Don't they get credit for that?
I don't know.
I always thought it was In-N-Out. I had the first one.
Have they been around that long? I would assume, like, that the old drive-ins, like, from the 1950s and stuff? Is that kind of the same thing? Like, you would park and they'd roller skate your, you know, your burger out to you?
That's not a drive-thru. You're talking about drive-in movie?
First identified drive-thru restaurant was Red's Giant Hamburger in Springfield, Missouri.
Really?
Isn't that McDonald's?
Is it? Red's Giant? Did they become McDonald's?
No, I'm... Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to need to... For whatever reason, I don't know why that strikes a chord with
1947.
Me.
1947.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's old school.
Widely credited as being America's first drive-thru restaurant.
Is there any, like... I mean, does anything ever good come from a drive-thru? Can you go through and get, like, anything that isn't going to kill you at a drive-thru?
They're saying that In-N-Out in 1948, so 1 year later, Harry Schneider opened In-N-Out, and that was California's first drive-thru hamburger stand.
Okay.
So it looks like the drive-thru was preceded by car hops, which is like, you know, when you go to like a Sonic and they bring it out to you. Yeah. Kirby's Pig Stand started that in 1921.
Old Kirby's.
1921.
Old school.
Damn, dude.
I like when you see a liquor store with a drive-thru. I've always appreciated that.
I've never seen that.
You ever seen those?
A lot of those in Texas.
Yeah, a lot of drive-up liquor stores. You just roll up in your car and grab yourself a 12er and a bottle of tequila. And,
I think Arizona has them, too.
You know what's wild is McDonald's. So In-N-Out had the first burger drive-thru in 1948. Mm-hmm. You know when McDonald's put in their first drive-thru?
What do you got?
1975.
McDonald's was really...
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Burger King the same.
Huh.
Then we got the first double vehicle drive-through in 1987.
What now? Wait, what's...
Like, you have multiple intercoms, so you can serve take multiple orders at once. Like, the two lanes.
Yeah, well, when I lived down in Florida, they had, like, Rallies and Checkers, which were pretty good, and they didn't even have... Like, you can't go in. That's all it is a drive-through. Like, there's no in dining. You just roll up, get it in your car, and get the hell out. They got two lanes, and keep them moving.
I always pick the wrong lane.
I know.
I don't go through drive-thrus a lot, but when I do, I have bad luck. I'm like, oh, this one's going to be great. Look at that. There's no one in. And then I sit there for 5 minutes, and then I back out and go into the other one.
You fool. It's always the lane that you pick. It's always the slow lane. At least like in when you're not in your car, you ever assess the line? You're like, ah, there's an old person. That person's got a bunch of kids. You got to pick the line with like single,
yeah,
like middle-aged dudes that want no interaction whatsoever.
If you can see it,
yes.
But when sometimes you're in your car,
you can't.
Like,
you can. It's a blind shot.
A Portland mother of two is fighting for her life in the ICU after she was mauled by a pack of dogs last week.
Yikes!
She lost an arm and an ear.
Oh my gosh, that is terrible.
This was July 15th. It happened in North Portland, near North Columbia Boulevard. They found several dogs had attacked a woman. Her name is Mitoka Petrie. She was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Two other people attempted to intervene but were also injured, but did not have to be transported to the hospital.
Yeah, eight dogs, right, were involved in this?
Eight.
That is a full-on pack.
The like, animal.
There ain't nothing you can do when there's eight dogs.
Yeah. The animals are currently being held at Multnomah County Animal Services.
We know
pending investigation.
Yeah, we know what's happening there. Do we know what kind of
but
dogs?
What is this, though? Is this like, I mean, look, I get it. These doggies, even your pet dog, you know, they operate on instinct, and they're still technically wild animals, I guess, you know?
Well,
but what is this when eight dogs just are cruising around taking people's arms off?
Well, I think this was at an encampment.
It was.
So, right there. I mean, it's a homeless encampment.
So, are those dogs then like...
They're just, yeah.
They're just more like street dogs?
Well, and I'm sure at that point, you know, it could be that the homeless people are using them for defense.
Yeah.
Look, those dogs aren't being raised and socialized. The encampment that I ride through on a regular basis... to see different things. And by the way, I did see something today. We need to talk about it. Let's just say a frothing wound is involved.
Ugh.
Boy, I'm telling you, it's something else. But they have dogs there all the time. And unfortunately, there's a lot of pit bulls and just kind of dogs that as you go by they bark, they growl. A lot of them are running loose. Some of them are chained up. It's just not a good environment. And if you get a bunch of dogs that are a pack like that, they get real territorial and you know, someone wanders through and there you go.
So if, let's say that...
And they do say that the more dogs you get, it becomes scary because of the pack mentality.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to ask. So if little Molly Tenji's, my little mutt, is... Because she can be fierce, or at least she thinks she is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if she's running around and gets with a pack of dogs, even though she doesn't attack... I mean, like, she's our pet. Like, she doesn't attack anyone.
Yeah.
She's just very territorial. She can be a little barky.
Mm-hmm.
Is she then following these dogs and suddenly trying to take somebody's arm off?
Absolutely.
My little Molly Two-Poops?
Little Molly Two-Poops.
Hey, one of the pack now.
She grew up on the mean streets of Tijuana, man.
She did.
You don't know what she's seen and done.
Yeah, she maybe has taken an arm.
It's possible.
But she wasn't in Tijuana. She was in Guadalajara.
Well, to be fair, Molly Two-Poops probably took off like a toe or a finger, but, you know.
Or tried to take
off. Tried to take off something.
But
but they do say that packs of dogs are really dangerous because they become feral, and
so even
you get one that's the alpha, and if that dog decides to attack, everyone else is too.
Yeah, okay, so even if, like, you have... It's not just the dogs in the homeless camp. It's like if all the dogs in my neighborhood all just started roaming around together...
It could be
we'd have a problem.
You could, absolutely. Yep. I've learned that from Caesar Milan and others.
Somebody showed me... Have you heard of the... is it the doggy doctor? Have you heard of him?
No.
Is that his name?
I'm not familiar with the doggy doctor. But they have this, like, in other countries that have stray dog problems, it can be real problematic because the dogs form little packs, and those dogs absolutely can get territorial, and they steal from people, and it's an issue other places. We don't get a lot of that here in the U.S. because, you know, we don't really get a lot of wild stray packs. Normally, we take care of those. You know, we have dog catchers and animal control services, but... The fact that this was at an encampment, a.k.a. homeless, that's, I think, anything goes. And I don't know, I swear to God, it's always the same type of dog. There's like three types of dogs, and it's always one of those. It's never
well. No, it's a pit bull.
Usually, it's like a pit bull, a Rottweiler,
a Rottie,
or some kind of mix of that. Maybe a German Shepherd. It's never a Labradoodle. As much as I give butt crap for the Labradoodle,
that's right. You won't see Posey mauling anyone's arms.
Yeah, you don't see Labradoodles that are involved in maulings and deaths. There's always just a couple of the breeds, and unfortunately, a lot of the people that shouldn't own those dogs want those dogs for that very reason.
All right, coming up next. I've got hot fire news.
It says letting the homeless and their feral pit bulls do whatever they want doesn't appear to be working in Portland. No, that is not a great strategy. It's not good.
I get so sad when I see dogs with homeless people.
Well, we heard.
And I'm not sad for the homeless people. I'm sad for the dogs.
Yeah. Well, you know my story. I tried to remedy that once and didn't work.
All right. Fire news is next. It is 4:51 on the Fan.
On fire emojis.
All right, Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. What keeps
the planet? Can you explain to me how the Mets and Yankees is a blackout market here?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Seriously? Because it's on ESPN nationally. So I am watching it right now. You should be able to do the same.
I can go back over to ESPN. Okay.
We'll get a little Big Ten talk coming up later. Cocaine shark news. Last story here on in the news today. Fire.
On fire emojis.
It's wild out there.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
I think we have the largest in the country now.
The Durkee Fire in eastern Oregon is the top wildfire priority in the country, in the USA.
Number one right now in the US. You've never seen a fire like this.
Yeah, it's out there. I don't know exactly where it is, but it's become the largest wildfire currently burning in the state. It is now the number one priority in the country, according to the Northwest Interagency Coordination Center, the NICC.
Ah, yes. Those guys.
Even as thousands of personnel also continue to battle dozens of other wildfires throughout Oregon. So we had a bunch of thunderstorms last week. We had about 2,000 lightning strikes statewide. And that's what started this stupid fire.
Are we still doing the whole, nothing to see here, this is normal? That, like, every year that our country just burns to the ground. And we're doing,
climate change is a hoax.
No big deal.
Well, I mean, it is an annual thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
we know it's coming.
It seems to be getting worse.
Of the 44 major wildfires burning in Oregon and Washington,
44?
Yes.
Good grief.
34 of them are here in Oregon. You guys only have 10 up there.
Doing
you little bitch.
That's because we've been raking our forests. I don't know what you're talking about. We're doing great up there.
So the fire has grown to 244,858 acres. That does nothing for me. I need a... I don't know what that means.
The acre thing? You don't know what an acre is?
Well, I do, but 245,000 acres is, like, kind of hard to... I don't know. That doesn't seem that big.
You know what like a 10-acre property looks like? Someone that's homes on 10 acres?
Yeah.
Well, 245,000. That's a...
No, I get it, Jason. I just...
You need
I'd like a little better... hey, it's the size of 77,000 football fields or whatever. You know, give me an anecdote.
I'm Googling right now.
I'm dumb.
How big is 245,000 acres?
Yeah, what's it say?
I'm trying to see if we can get anything.
It's, by the way.
It's giving me a lot of feet here, though, so...
This fire is 0% contained, which doesn't seem
zero?
Good. Yeah, it doesn't seem good.
I thought... Like, I can't even say, 1% contained?
Zero. Mm. They're also saying that 75-mile-an-hour wind gusts are coming?
Yeah, that's problematic.
Oh, my God! What is happening out there?
Well, and that's tough, too, because the firefighters, at that point, you can't even fight the blaze because the fire will jump over you, and that's all kinds of bad.
They're also saying, the wind gusts are coming from thunderstorms that are on the way,
mm-hmm.
So that could lead to landslides, flash floods.
All right, I got this for you.
With the fire.
I got this. So
it's like end of days type stuff.
The average football field is around 57,000 square feet. 1 acre is about 43,000 square feet. So 1 acre covers between 75 and 80% of a football field.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess if you wanted to do that, you say 245,000 acres. I don't know. It's 200 and, you know, I guess that would be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Is that Maneater? Is that by accident, or did you play that on purpose?
I did not play it. That was just a really nice coincidence for your next story.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to take credit for it, but I can't.
I'm a man of integrity. Then, the universe just lines up.
Somebody on the Vancouver Fort text line before we get to you in the news said, big smoke detector is in cahoots with big insurance.
100%.
So they make them infuriating, so you take them down, and when the house burns down, they can blame it on you taking down the detector, and they don't pay you out.
I think this is a really savvy take.
That's from Jordan. That is a savvy take.
Boy, is that a thing? Like, if my smoke detectors aren't properly installed, the insurance...
Oh, hell yeah.
The insurance company's like, so
you didn't do your part.
Yes. They're like, that ain't our fault.
You know what? I'm not even going to lie. I'm kind of impressed with that. I hate insurance companies. That's a bold move, though. I respect it. You sons of bitches.
Yeah, I don't even think that's really conspiracy. That sounds like fact.
That does. I'm going to run with that. I don't know if there's any truth to that at all, but from now on, that's what I'm choosing to believe.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Thank you, Jordan.
Who needs facts anymore at this point? Just go with a narrative and believe in it with all your being.
July 24, 2024. Time now for In the News. I'm your Notre Newsman. Hello. Thank you. Please be seated. If you are already seated, please stand in my honor, and now you can be seated. It is National Tequila Day.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You know my feelings on tequila. It's very mid.
We've talked about tequila. Well, some tequila is, and some tequila isn't. Yeah, some tequila is really good. You know, mezcal is really... It's popping these days.
It's my least favorite of the tequilas.
It's mezcal.
That's true.
But it's in the tequila
family. Right?
Yeah, I like mezcal more than tequila.
Damn.
Smokier. Also, Jace, it is National Drive-Thru Day.
Oh, okay. Today. Making us fatter by the day. Nothing good comes from a drive-thru.
Now, who do we credit for the original drive-thru? Isn't it the In-N-Out guys?
In-N-Out?
Don't they get credit for that?
I don't know.
I always thought it was In-N-Out. I had the first one.
Have they been around that long? I would assume, like, not the old drive-ins, like from the 1950s and stuff. Is that kind of the same thing? Like, you would park and they'd roller skate your, you know, your burger out to you?
That's not a drive-thru. You're talking about drive-in movie?
First kid? Identified drive-thru restaurant was Red's Giant Hamburger in Springfield, Missouri.
Really?
Isn't that McDonald's?
Is it? Red's Giant? Did they become McDonald's?
No. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to need to... For whatever reason, I don't know why that strikes a chord with
1947.
Me. 1947. Yeah, I was going to say, that's old school.
Widely credited as being America's first drive-thru restaurant.
Is there any, like, I mean, does anything ever good come from a drive-thru? Can you go through and get, like, anything that isn't going to kill you at a drive-thru?
They're saying that In-N-Out in 1948, so 1 year later, Harry Schneider opened In-N-Out, and that was California's first drive-thru hamburger stand.
Okay.
So it looks like the drive-thru was preceded by car hops, which is like, you know, when you go to like a Sonic and they bring it out to you. Yeah. Kirby's Pig Stand started that in 1921.
Kirby's.
1921.
Old school.
Damn, dude.
I like when you see a liquor store with a drive-thru. I've always appreciated that.
I've never seen that.
You ever seen those?
A lot of those in Texas.
Yeah, a lot of drive-up liquor stores. You just roll up in your car and grab yourself a 12er and a bottle of tequila.
Arizona has them, too.
You know what's wild is McDonald's. So In-N-Out had the first burger drive-thru in 1948. Mm-hmm. You know when McDonald's put in their first drive-thru?
What do you got?
1975.
McDonald's was really...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's shocking.
Burger King the same.
Huh.
Then we got the first double vehicle drive-through in 1987.
What now? Wait, what's...
Like, you have multiple intercoms, so you can serve multiple orders at once? Like, the two lanes?
Yeah, well, when I lived down in Florida, they had, like, Rallies and Checkers, which were pretty good, and they didn't even have... Like, you can't go in. That's all it is a drive-through. Like, there's no in dining. You just roll up, get it in your car, and get the hell out. They got two lanes and keep them moving.
I always pick the wrong lane.
I know.
I don't go through drive-thrus a lot, but when I do, I have bad luck. I'm like, oh, this one's going to be great. Look at that. There's no one in. And then I sit there for 5 minutes and then I back out and go into the other one.
You fool. It's always the lane that you pick. It's always the slow lane. At least like in when you're not in your car, you ever assess the line? You're like, there's an old person. That person's got a bunch of kids. You got to pick the line with like single, like middle-aged dudes that want no interaction whatsoever.
If you can see it.
Yes.
But when sometimes you're in your
car,
you
can't. It's a blind shot.
A Portland mother of two is fighting for her life in the ICU after she was mauled by a pack of dogs last week.
Yikes.
She lost an arm and an ear.
Oh my gosh. That is... terrible.
This was July 15th. It happened in North Portland, near North Columbia Boulevard. They found several dogs had attacked a woman. Her name is Mitoka Petrie. She was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Two other people attempted to intervene but were also injured, but did not have to be transported to the hospital.
Yeah, eight dogs, right, were involved in this?
Eight.
That is a full-on pack.
The like, animal.
There ain't nothing you can do when there's eight dogs.
Yeah. The animals are currently being held at Multnomah County Animal Services.
We know
pending investigation.
Yeah, we know what's happening there. Do we know what kind of
But
dogs?
What is this, though? Is this like... I mean, look, I get it. These doggies, even your pet dog, you know, they operate on instinct, and they're still technically wild animals, I guess, you know?
Well,
but what is this when eight dogs just are cruising around taking people's arms off?
Well, I think this was at an encampment.
It was.
So, right there. I mean, it's a homeless encampment.
So, are those dogs then like...
They're just, yeah.
They're just more like street dogs?
Well, and I'm sure at that point, you know, it could be that the homeless people are using them for defense.
Yeah.
Look, those dogs aren't being raised and socialized. the encampment that I ride through on a regular basis to see different things. And by the way, I did see something today. We need to talk about it. Let's just say a frothing wound is involved.
Ugh.
Boy, I'm telling you, it's something else. But they have dogs there all the time, and unfortunately, there's a lot of pit bulls and just kind of dogs that as you go by are... They bark, they growl. A lot of them are running loose. Some of them are chained up. It's just not a good environment. And if you get a bunch of dogs that are a pack like that, they get real territorial and you know, someone wanders through and there you go.
So if, let's say that...
And they do say that the more dogs you get, it becomes scary because of the pack mentality.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to ask. So if little Molly Tenji's, my little mutt, is... Because she can be fierce, or at least she thinks she is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if she's running around and gets with a pack of dogs, even though she doesn't attack... I mean, like, she's our pet. Like, she doesn't attack anyone.
Yeah.
She's just very territorial. She can be a little barky.
Mm-hmm.
Is she then following these dogs and suddenly trying to take somebody's arm off?
Absolutely.
My little Molly Two-Poops?
Little Molly Two-Poops.
Hey, one of the pack now.
She grew up on the mean streets of Tijuana, man.
She did.
You don't know what she's seen and
done. Yes, she maybe has taken an arm.
It's possible.
But she wasn't in Tijuana. She was in Guadalajara.
Well, to be fair, Molly Two-Poops probably took off like a toe or a finger, but, you know.
Or tried to take
off. Tried to take off something.
But
yeah, but they do say that packs of dogs are really dangerous because they become feral, and
so
and
even
you get
if
one that's the alpha, and if that dog decides to attack, everyone else is too.
Yeah. Okay. So even if like you have, it's not just the dogs in the homeless camp. It's like if all the dogs in my neighborhood all just started roaming around together,
we could be.
We'd have a problem.
You could absolutely. Yep. I've learned that from Caesar Milan and others.
Somebody showed me. Have you heard of the? Is it the doggy doctor? We heard him.
No.
Is that his name?
I'm not familiar with the doggy doctor. But they have this like in other countries that have stray dog problems, it can be real problematic because the dogs form little packs and those dogs absolutely can get territorial and they steal from people. And it's an issue other places. We don't get a lot of that here in the U.S. because, you know, we don't really get a lot of wild stray packs. Normally we take care of those. You know, there's, you know, we have dog catchers and animal control services, but... The fact that this was at an encampment, a.k.a. homeless, that's, I think, anything goes. And I don't know, I swear to God, it's always the same type of dog. There's like three types of dogs, and it's always one of those. It's never...
Well, it's a pit bull.
Usually. It's like a pit bull, a Rottweiler.
A Rotty.
Or some kind of mix of that, maybe a German Shepherd. It's never a Labradoodle. As much as I give butt crap for the Labradoodle...
That's right, you won't see Posey mauling anyone's arms.
Yeah, you don't see Labradoodles that are involved in maulings and deaths. There's always just a couple of the breeds, and unfortunately, a lot of the people that shouldn't own those dogs want those dogs for that very reason.
All right, coming up next... I've got hot fire news.
It says letting the homeless and their feral pit bulls do whatever they want doesn't appear to be working in Portland. No, that is not a great strategy. It's not good.
I get so sad when I see dogs with homeless people.
Well, we heard.
And I'm not sad for the homeless people. I'm sad for the dogs.
Yeah. Well, you know my story. I tried to remedy that once and didn't work.
All right. Fire news is next. It is 4:51 on the Fan.
Own fire emojis.
All right, Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. What keeps
the planet cool? Explain to me how the Mets and Yankees is a blackout market here.
What? I don't know.
Seriously? Because it's on ESPN nationally. So I am watching it right now. You should be able to do the same.
I can go back over to ESPN. Okay.
We'll get a little Big Ten talk coming up later. Cocaine shark news. Last story here on in the news today. Fire.
On fire emojis.
It's wild out there.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
I think we have the largest in the country now.
The Durkee Fire in eastern Oregon is the top wildfire priority in the country, in the USA.
Number one right now in the US. You've never seen a fire like this.
Yeah, it's out there I don't know exactly where it is, but it's become the largest wildfire currently burning in the state. It is now the number one priority in the country, according to the Northwest Interagency Coordination Center, the NICC.
Ah, yes. Those guys.
Even as thousands of personnel also continue to battle dozens of other wildfires throughout Oregon. So we had a bunch of thunderstorms last week. We had about 2,000 lightning strikes statewide. And that's what started this stupid fire.
Are we still doing the whole, nothing to see here, this is normal, that, like, every year that our country just burns to the ground, and we're doing, like,
climate change is a hoax.
No big deal.
Well, I mean, it is an annual thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
we know it's coming.
Seems to be getting worse.
Of the 44 major wildfires burning in Oregon and Washington,
44?
Yes.
Good grief.
34 of them are here in Oregon. You guys only have 10 up there.
Doing
you little bitch.
That's because we've been raking our forests. I don't know what you're talking about. We're doing great up there.
So the fire has grown to 244,858 acres. That does nothing for me. I need a... I don't know what that means.
The acre thing? You don't know what an acre is?
Well, I do, but... 245,000 acres is like kind of hard to. I don't know. It doesn't seem that big.
You know what like a 10 acre property looks like? Someone that's homes on 10 acres?
Yeah.
Well, 245,000. That's a.
No, I get it, Jason. I just.
You need.
I'd like a little better. Hey, it's the size of 77,000 football fields or whatever, you know, like give me an anecdote.
I'm Googling right now.
I'm dumb.
How big is 245,000 acres?
Yeah, what's it say?
I'm trying to see if we can get anything.
It's
giving me a lot of feet here, though, so.
This fire is 0% contained, which doesn't seem
zero?
Good. Yeah, it doesn't seem good.
I thought, like, they can't even say, like, 1% contained?
Zero. They're also saying that 75-mile-an-hour wind gusts are coming.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Oh, my God. What is happening out there?
Well, and that's tough, too, because the firefighters, at that point, you can't even fight the blaze because the fire will jump over you, and that's all kinds of bad.
They're also saying, the wind gusts are coming from thunderstorms that are on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that could lead to landslides, flash floods.
All right, I got this for you.
With the fire.
I got this. So
it's like end of days type stuff.
The average football field is around 57,000 square feet. 1 acre is about 43,000 square feet. So 1 acre covers between 75 and 80% of a football field.
Okay.
So, I guess if you wanted to do that, you say 245,000 acres. I don't know. It's... 200 and, you know, I guess that would be like what? Maybe 200,000?
You're doing great.
200,000 and some change football fields? Does that do anything for you?
No.
No, that doesn't do anything for you.
No.
You can't imagine.
I need a bigger.
You can't imagine 200,000 football fields.
No. I need a bigger. Like somebody said, it's equivalent to 382 miles. Okay, now you're talking.
That's better than the football field thing?
Yes. Because a mile is bigger.
That's way easier to picture a football field than it is a mile.
Yeah, but not 200,000 football fields. 382 miles, I get it. That's like...
I don't think you get it.
That's
But that's a straight line. That's not... This is...
I know, but it helps. Shut up.
God. Shut up.
It's a big-ass fire.
Yeah, so
fire away, big boy.
75-mile-an-hour winds.
Sucks. All right, there's your In the News, July 24, 2024. Hot 5 at 5 is next. Who Kyle Shanahan offered a job to. Rose Bowl news. And beep, beep, beep. Scholarships. More scholarships are coming to college sports.
Yes.
And the Mariners lost. It's a 5:02 on the fan. Beginnings. All right, Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. What keeps
the planet cool? Can you explain to me how the Mets and Yankees is a blackout market here?
What? I don't know.
Seriously? Because it's on ESPN nationally. So I am watching it right now. You should be able to do the same.
I can go back over to ESPN. Okay.
We'll get a little Big Ten talk coming up later. cocaine shark news. Last story here on in the news today. Fire.
On fire emojis.
It's wild out there.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
I think we have the largest in the country now.
The Durkee Fire in eastern Oregon is the top wildfire priority in the country, in the USA.
Number one right now in the US. You've never seen a fire like this.
Yeah, it's out there. I don't know exactly where it is, but it's become the largest wildfire currently burning in the state. It is now the number one priority in the country, according to the Northwest Interagency Coordination Center, the NICC.
Ah, yes. Those guys.
Even as thousands of personnel also continue to battle dozens of other wildfires throughout Oregon. So we had a bunch of thunderstorms last week. We had about 2,000 lightning strikes statewide. And that's what started this stupid fire.
Are we still doing the whole, nothing to see here, this is normal, that, like, every year that our country just burns to the ground, and we're doing,
climate change is a hoax.
No big deal.
Well, I mean, it is an annual thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
we know it's coming.
Seems to be getting worse.
Of the 44 major wildfires burning in Oregon and Washington,
44?
Yes.
Good grief.
34 of them are here in Oregon. You guys only have 10 up there.
Doing
you little bitch.
That's because we've been raking our forests. I don't know what you're talking about. We're doing great up there.
So the fire has grown to 244,858 acres. That does nothing for me. I need a... I don't know what that means.
The acre thing? You don't know what an acre is?
Well, I do, but... 245,000 acres is like kind of hard to. I don't know. It doesn't seem that big.
You know what a 10-acre property looks like? Someone that's homes on 10 acres?
Yeah.
Well, 245,000. That's a.
No, I get it, Jason. I just.
You need.
I'd like a little better. Hey, it's the size of 77,000 football fields or whatever, you know, give me an anecdote.
I'm Googling right now.
I'm dumb.
How big is 245,000 acres?
Yeah, what's it say?
I'm trying to see if we can get anything.
It's
giving me a lot of feet here, though, so.
This fire is 0% contained, which doesn't seem
zero?
Good. Yeah, it doesn't seem good.
I thought I can't even say 1% contained?
Zero. They're also saying that 75-mile-an-hour wind gusts are coming.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Oh, my God. What is happening out there?
Well, and that's tough, too, because the firefighters, at that point, you can't even fight the blaze because the fire will jump over you, and that's all kinds of bad.
They're also saying, the wind gusts are coming from thunderstorms that are on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that could lead to landslides, flash floods.
All right, I got this for you.
With the fire.
I got this. So
it's like end of days type stuff.
The average football field is around 57,000 square feet. 1 acre is about 43,000 square feet. So 1 acre covers between 75 and 80% of a football field.
Okay.
So, I guess if you wanted to do that, you say 245,000 acres. I don't know. It's 200 and, I guess that would be maybe 200,000.
You're doing great.
200,000 and some change football fields? Does that do anything for you?
No.
No, that doesn't do anything for you.
No.
You can't imagine.
I need a bigger.
You can't imagine 200,000 football fields.
No. I need a bigger. Like somebody said, it's equivalent to 382 miles. Okay, now you're talking.
That's better than the football field thing?
Yes. Because a mile is bigger.
That's way easier to picture a football field than it is a mile.
Yeah, but not 200,000 football fields. 382 miles, I get it. That's like...
I don't think you get it.
That's
But that's a straight line. That's not... This is.
I know, but it helps. Shut up.
God. Shut up.
It's a big-ass fire.
Yeah, sucks.
Fire away, big boy.
75-mile-an-hour winds.
Sucks. All right, there's your In the News, July 24, 2024. Hot 5 at 5 is next. Who Kyle Shanahan offered a job to. Rose Bowl news. And beep, beep, beep. Scholarships. More scholarships are coming to college sports.
Yes.
And the Mariners lost. It's a 5:02 on the fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.